Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Daytona Beach International Airport, offering new nonstop service to New York City and Boston, Massachusetts. Daytona Beach International Airport features convenient access to the terminal, easy and close parking, and more. Details at flydab.com.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage. Census data shows Florida has the largest Haitian immigrant population of any state. Haiti was first designated for temporary protected status in 2010 after a devastating earthquake killed more than 200,000 people, left more than 1.5 million homeless, and destroyed critical infrastructure on the Caribbean island. TPS is not a path to citizenship, but it does allow people to live and work legally in the United States. Immigration advocates in Central Florida want TPS extended, arguing Haiti remains a dangerous country plagued by violence and civil unrest. Critics say TPS was always meant to be temporary. After lawsuits challenged the administration's decision to end TPS for Haiti and Syria, the conservative majority Supreme Court ruled in a 6-3 decision last week that the law prevents courts from questioning how the Department of Homeland Security decides to revoke the protections. In a statement, the White House said the ruling giving the Trump administration full authority to terminate temporary protected status for Haitian migrants is a major victory for America and the president's effort to end the border invasion. Florida is home to more Haitian TPS holders than any other state. I planned on starting this story by introducing you to a Haitian man living in Central Florida under temporary protected status. He agreed to share what this moment feels like. Before we could talk, he became so frightened about speaking publicly and what might happen to him, he couldn't go through with the interview. That fear is something Ann Pierville says she's seeing more of. She is Haitian American, born and raised in Central Florida, and director of the Haitian Lawyers Association.
It's heartbreaking because, you know, we knew that this would cause that type of fear and chilling effect in the community of people that are just so fearful they're not even going to leave their house. And we knew this would come because people are realizing that they are about to lose their access to work, their access to a driver's license, food insecurity, how are they going to pay their bills next month? And a lot of people are super scared. I actually spoke with a local pastor today and he told me his church was empty on Sunday because his church is mostly TPS holders, and that just broke his heart. There was no one there. It was empty. And he was just asking me, what can he do? What can he tell people? He was just very surprised at this response. We are seeing this and we are hearing this from the community. People are so scared and people don't know what to do. They don't know what's next.
What do you tell people like that pastor who want to know, what do I tell people?
So I tell him, you know, with everything that's going on, we need people to prepare for what's next. We need people to prepare for if they do unfortunately have to leave their housing, their vehicles, their bank accounts. Do you have the legal framework in case you do have to leave? Do you have documentation already prepared? Do you have a trusted family member or a friend that has access to these documents and to your bank account? Do you have a power of attorney prepared? Do you already have guardianships for your children, educational guardianships, if they're going to be enrolled into school? And so these type of things are super important right now. And this is what we want to get the community focused on. I've said it before, we are going to ensure that we're educating the community. And so as a director and a board member of the Haitian Lawyers Association, we are mobilizing our attorneys that are statewide to go to the local Haitian churches, to go to nonprofits and community centers so we can educate. We already have a free legal helpline where you can call and get a free legal consultation. We are going to start offering legal clinics. And so we have some great pro bono attorneys and great members and organizations that are going to help us prepare these documents for individuals that need them.
What are those next steps? What kind of decisions are families suddenly having to make?
So we know for individuals that live in Florida, and we are in Central Florida, a lot of individuals, their driver's license were renewed until July 1st. And so we know a lot of the community is wondering, how do I get to work tomorrow? And that is a big question that a lot of people have. We are stressing to the community, it is very important to not drive without a driver's license. So that's number one, transportation. How do people get to work tomorrow? Number two, people are wondering, well, what do I do with the assets? What do I do with my mortgage? What do I do with the money in the bank account that I have? What do I do if I have a small owned business? What do I do with my children if I want them to stay in the United States, if I have to step away? What do I do if I have a partner in a different state? Child custody agreement. So those type of questions are what we're getting from the community. And then the churches are asking us, you know, what do we do next Sunday? Should we have an open service or should we just go completely virtual because people are so fearful? Also, what food access? How do we get food to people if people are scared to leave their homes?
Can you speak to the people who may be thinking, this doesn't affect me? I'm wondering, where do people with TPS fit into Central Florida's economy, for example? Or what would happen if thousands of Haitian workers lost this authorization?
Mm-hmm. So we know that with TPS ending, if, you know, tomorrow all Haitian TPS workers didn't go to work, our hotels will be affected, our resorts will be affected, we know our amusement parks will be affected, we know that our nursing homes and senior living, we know that our hospitals will be affected. That's just fact. The makeup of these institutions are Haitian workers. They are our nurses, our doctors, our educators, our social workers. They work in hospitality and tourism. It is very heartbreaking to realize what is happening because it's not just going to affect the tourism. Our prices are going to go up. There are farm workers as well. Food will increase. And we're going to see how it's going to affect the economy because the Haitian community is such a big part of Central Florida's community. We have a thriving Haitian community with over 40,000 individuals. And then we have the mixed status families where we have a lot of families with individuals that may be TPS holders, individuals that are U.S. citizens, green card holders. So it is going to affect the economy. It is going to affect the makeup of our community. And it is going to hurt, unfortunately, to see these individuals be unable to work.
You've lived and worked in this community for a long time. What worries you most about this moment?
What worries me is people not knowing what to do and being so fearful, people staying in the house and not getting the resources that they need, and they're frozen and they don't know what to do, or they do know, but they're scared to get that help because of what's happening and what it is going to and currently doing to their mental health and their health. It's just very worrisome because we know the fact is Haiti is not prepared to receive thousands of individuals right now. And so where do these people go if they do return to Haiti?
Orlando attorney Anne Pierville is director of the Haitian Lawyers Association. She's also watching for any developments in Congress that could help her clients. There is a bill in the U.S. House that would extend Haiti's temporary protected status designation for 3 years. But as of now, that legislation has not become law, and Haitian TPS holders are preparing for the possibility of mass deportations. That fear Pierville talked about extends beyond individual families. Daryl Butler is a licensed, certified nursing assistant and Orlando-based organizer for the 1199 SEIU union that represents thousands of healthcare employees. He's visiting and reaching out to impacted workers in Central Florida, including four Haitian nursing home employees in Melbourne with TPS.
Some of them are really fearful to even have conversations about this because they don't know where to turn, who's going to report them.
Data from the Haitian Bridge Alliance, a nonprofit that advocates for fair immigration policies, shows 93,000 Haitian TPS recipients are part of Florida's workforce. 4,000 are nursing assistants. Butler says losing staff working in hospitals and nursing homes in Central Florida will have ripple effects.
losing just a few workers, that would impact the care dramatically. Trust me, it will. Working short on the floor just one day, caring for up to 20 residents at one time in the state of Florida, it's crazy. And it caused a lot of burnout. It caused breakdowns in resident care inside of our facilities. As a caregiver, we are hardworking. This is something that we gave our lives to do, to care for your loved ones, our loved ones, and so forth. It's a lot of work inside of these nursing homes that people just don't really realize that healthcare is not easy. And losing our Haitian brothers and sisters, it's going to make our job even harder.
CNA Daryl Butler is an 1199 SEIU organizer based in Orlando. For many Haitian TPS holders, the fear isn't just about losing the lives they built in Central Florida. It's also about where they could be forced to return. An active travel advisory from the Department of State warns U.S. citizens that they should not travel to Haiti due to risk of rampant crime, violent gang activity, kidnapping, unrest, and limited health care. The FAA restricts U.S. commercial flights to Port-au-Prince because of ongoing instability. Florida-based journalist and author Michael Dibert has covered Haiti for the last 30 years. He explains what conditions are like today.
Although there's this kind of discourse that goes around that the situation is confined to the capital of Port-au-Prince, a large portion of which is controlled by these illegal armed groups, it actually extends far to the north of Port-au-Prince along this agricultural area called the Artibonite Valley, which has been the scene of some extremely vicious fighting between different gangs and paramilitaries opposed to the gangs. And the area which I imagine these people from Central Florida would be dropped off at is a city called Cap-Haïtien, which is in the north of Haiti. So basically, if you're going to go anywhere else in the south of Haiti to Port-au-Prince itself or to the southern peninsula, you would have to pass through this area of the Artibonite Valley that's completely riven by violence now.
You mentioned people being dropped off. People have built lives here. They have their jobs, their churches, their businesses, kids in school. What happens when someone has to suddenly get dropped off and start over in Haiti?
The situation there with the economy is so dire because of, you know, violence. The politically connected violence and the criminally connected violence has ruined the economy. So I don't know what these people are expected to do when they're dropped back into that scenario. One thing I think that's also important to realize is that, you know, every person benefiting from TPS in the United States is supporting an exponential number of people in Haiti itself with their earnings. And I mean, that's been something that's been going on for quite a number of decades, but I think it has gotten, you know, particularly stark as the kind of economic collapse of the country continued, especially predating, but especially after the July 2021 assassination of Jovenel Moïse, the president.
And Mike, we last spoke to you in March of 2024 after a crisis saw the government disintegrate. Protesters and gangs took over the streets. How has that evolved? How have conditions improved, if they have?
The Haitian police and these private military contractors have made some advances in terms of taking over some of the territory in Port-au-Prince itself that has been controlled by these armed groups. But it's been very, I would say, piecemeal. And I think these gangs are still operating with a fair degree of freedom and a fair amount of impunity, unfortunately. I mean, in addition to that, I mean, we have to look at the kind of, you know, the political dysfunction. I mean, of course, Haiti hasn't had any kind of elected bodies of office, including the presidency, including the parliament, since 2021. And what we have now is a prime minister who hasn't been elected by anybody, who's kind of ruling with the support of the United States and various other partners, and is set to have, you know, presidential elections and parliamentary elections sometime in the next year. I mean, they were supposed to happen by the end of this year. That is looking more and more unlikely. The average person in Haiti doesn't really have a voice in how the country is run because there's nobody in office that they have elected.
Is Haiti prepared or in a position to take in thousands of migrants?
Completely not. In fact, it'd be hard to think of a country on earth that is less prepared to take in thousands of people who were being, you know, summarily deported from lives they have built in the United States. I think the great lie at the center of this decision is that somehow, you know, the conditions in Haiti have improved enough that people no longer deserve temporary protected status in the United States. I mean, the situation is, you know, far worse than it was 10 years ago, for example. You know, the FAA has banned flights in and out of Port-au-Prince, the airport in Port-au-Prince, the capital, because planes were getting shot at. If, as I assume, they're going to be depositing all of these people in Cap Haïtien in the north, where some of them may not have any connections, they may not have any family. I mean, what are they going to do for work? Where are they going to stay?
As people in Central Florida watch this unfold, what do you think is important for them to understand about what TPS holders are facing?
I think what's really important is the fact that through the benefits of the Haitians that are enjoying TPS in the United States, because of their ability to, however, you know, meagerly support their families in Haiti, that in some way, that is a stabilizing factor in an extremely unstable situation, which is in Haiti, which I think, you know, all of us in the Americas have to have an interest in kind of a peaceful, stable, democratic Haiti. And the decision to send many thousands of Haitians back to this current inferno that's there is going to make that less likely and more difficult to achieve rather than easier to achieve.
Florida journalist and author Michael Dibert has covered Haiti for decades. While the future is uncertain for the thousands of Haitian Americans with TPS in Central Florida, the message from Orlando pastor Marc Antoine is one of resilience. He was born in Haiti and is pastor of the Creole campus of the Kingdom Church.
We gather today with heavy hearts. We gather with heavy hearts, but we also gather with faith, the same faith that has carried us through, and Haitians know how to be carried through by faith. For so many of our Haitian brothers and sisters, this is not just a policy change. This is a door slamming in our face. This is a threat to dreams, livelihoods, and stability. But as people of faith, people who believe and follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we believe that there is no earthly decision that can overshadow the promises of God. We feel the pain, we feel it deeply, but we also stand in resilience. We remember what happened when the people of Israel were facing threat. God sent a man named Moses to go and liberate the people. We remember what happened when the people were facing threat again. God sent a woman named Esther. We remember what happened when the walls were destroyed. God sent a man named Nehemiah. We remember what happened when women were not getting fed. There was a team of men dedicated. We call them deacons to go and feed and make sure that there was justice. I say that to say this. Today we stand here as Moses. We stand here as Nehemiah. We stand here as Esthers. We stand here as the deacons. We stand here so that we can be the light in the darkness. We stand here to advocate for justice, to support one another. And we stand here to say that we will not give up. We know that even in the midst of all of this, God is in control. There's something that Haitians like to say. Toutes choses concourent au bien de ceux qui aiment Dieu. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So we will persevere, not just because we must, but we know that in the end, God's justice will prevail. And as we say, as a lot of our people say, pour l'impap fini, but what I want to tell you today, grâce bon Dieu pap fini nobody. Que bon Dieu venu.
Marc Antoine is a pastor at the Kingdom Church in Orlando. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.